as I said, we have Simon Harris, the Minister for Health, and Wicklow today in studio. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Valerie.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, we've a lot to ask you this morning, a lot of questions. We want to catch up, but let's just start with that thing I mentioned about the budget. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council say the government needs to put an end to supplementary spending in health and says the spending is unsustainable. But the IFAC's Seamus Coffey says the government appears to have finally accounted for overruns in this year's budget. The health budget for 2020 has risen to a record 17.4 million. And we cannot guarantee there won't be an overrun.
Well, I think firstly, I welcome Seamus Coffey's comments this morning in basically saying, look, the government did the right thing this year when it put together the budget. It put the supplementary figures into the overall budget arithmetic, and the Fiscal Advisory Council has welcomed that. But I do think we also need to be truthful here. We run a demand-led service when it comes to healthcare, and that's not particular to Ireland. When I meet European ministers at European meetings as well, the demands on health right around the globe are very similar. We don't have the luxury, when you're the health ministry, you don't have the luxury of saying to an elderly person who turns up in a hospital, sorry, you have to wait till next year till we have more funding. So I think we've shown significant progress this year in reining in the overrun. It's about half of what it was last year. We have a new management team in the HSE led by Paul Reid, who's a very, very experienced chief executive. We have a new board in place. But we do have to balance fiscal prudence, which is really important, also with common sense and compassion. And that is the challenge when you're running a health service. So I welcome the Fiscal Advisory Council's comments today that we've made some progress in that regard. But I do have to be truthful to people. And in fairness, Seamus Coffey acknowledged it himself when I heard him on radio this morning. You know, it's almost impossible to come in exactly on budget. It's about making sure that you keep as tight a rein on it as you can whilst delivering very important services.
And do you think there will be a supplementary budget?
So the Minister for Finance has announced already a supplementary budget on Budget Day for the health service of just over €300 million. He's also announced €26 million to help us with winter pressures, more home care, more transitional care, extra money for the nursing home scheme, which I'm sure we'll get on to. So yes, there will be additional funds provided to health this year, but it is a significant reduction on the overrun that we saw last year. Mm.
But does it not strike you, Simon, that you shouldn't have to justify an overrun? I mean, this is a service. It's a service for everybody and certainly for the most vulnerable. And if the money is needed, it should just be there.
I think that's right. But in fairness to my colleague Pascal Donoghue, in fairness to government, the amount of money we're putting into health each year is astronomical. It's increasing very significantly. There's an extra €1 billion going into the health service. And what we need to say to the HSE and what we've said very clearly to them is, look, you have to plan within that allocation. Because if you actually overrun in one place, it does have an impact on a service in another place. Every health service the world over has a finite budget. But I don't make any apologies for making sure that we put patients first in any of those conversations. And that is the balance. Like, I didn't get involved in politics just to be involved in the managing of an economy, though that is vital. I also got involved in politics because I wanted to see societal change. And you do need to balance those two.
Okay, well, can we move on now? On the morning show over the last number of months, Declan Meehan has spoken to women and men who've had terrible complications after surgery that used mesh. Now, one woman told Declan how the pain she's in has absolutely changed her life for the worst. Her husband is now her carer and she has no social life. She's missing out on family days, even including her own sister's wedding. Now, Declan has also spoken to a number of experts in Ireland and abroad on mesh. Now, the mesh survivor, Simon, they're hoping to meet with you. Have you spoken to any of them about meeting them?
Yes, so I intend to meet the Mesh Survivors Ireland next month in November. I've already had two meetings with the group, with Mesh Survivors Ireland, and I've also had a number of individual meetings with women impacted by mesh. Indeed, a number of them live here in our own county of Wicklow, and I've met them at my constituency clinics and the likes. But I have had two formal meetings as Health Minister with Mesh Survivors Ireland already, and I will have a third one next month. We have taken a number of actions. I met these women, and to be quite honest, Valerie, if you'd want to have a heart of stone not to actually be so moved and so angry to hear what these women have been through. I mean, healthy women who have had their lives absolutely transformed for the very worst, whose relationships with their partners is now transformed forevermore, who tell me stories about how they were spoken to by people within the health service that makes me very, very angry. Now, we haven't just, and I would never do this, I always think, you know, when you're health minister, people don't just want sympathy from you, they want to know what you're going to do.
They want to know
what are you actually going to do. So the first thing we did was we've effectively put a ban on the use of mesh in our country. We've insists the UK has done that too. So it's a temporary ban until a number of issues are addressed. So that is in place today. We have also put in place an action plan in terms of specific supports that should be put in place for women who are affected by this. And remember, this goes back over a very long number of years. We published the implementation plan on the HSE's website, and I'm due to get a progress report on that implementation plan in the next couple of days. So I'll be meeting them in November, where I think we can have a really good conversation.
And you let us know when you're meeting.
I'll be delighted
to
come back,
so we can
tell
people what the outcome of that is.
No problem at all.
Now, the next thing I want to ask you about are home care packages.
Yes.
I mean, this is always controversial. There was an allocation in the budget. Will it make any difference?
It really will, actually, Valerie, because last year we provided about, sorry, this year we're still in this year, in 2019, we provided about 18.3 million home care hours. That will increase to 19.3 million. So what we've basically done is provided 1 million extra home care hours. And this has been widely welcomed by groups, including the Alzheimer's Society and others, because it is truthfully the first time in a long number of years that I believe we'll actually make inroads into the waiting list for home care. It's quite an expensive investment. It's an investment of over 50 million euro, but you know well from your work, and I know too, it's a cost effective thing to do. Makes much more sense to help support people in their own home than have people ending up in hospitals and nursing homes, and it's also the right thing to do. So I believe here in County Wicklow we'll see a very significant increase in home care, and right across the country. I do need to say we don't need to wait for 2020 for that to happen, because as I said at the start of this interview, we have allocated 26 million more to the health service between now and the end of the year, and some of that will be used for home care. But if I'm to be very, very honest, we need to actually reform our home care system. It annoys me that we have a fair deal scheme in place for nursing homes. So if you or I need to go to a nursing home today, we have a statutory scheme that sets out the rules and the regulations around that. But we've actually no statutory scheme for home care. Home care doesn't actually exist in law in Ireland.
No. So you could live hold in, that thought,
sure,
because we're going to have to take a break.
Sorry.
But I want to come back and ask you about that. And look, if you've got anything to say to the Minister, text us now. Any questions or anything else on 087 77 11 103.
Have your say. Call the Morning Show hotline 0818 303 103.
I'm joined in studio this morning by Minister Simon Harris, and there's a number of things we want to ask him. Just before we went off air there, or into the ad break, we were talking about the new home care hours. You think that, I mean, you allocated so much in the budget, is that going to help?
So yeah, I think the fact that we're going to have 1 million more home care hours in 2020, and indeed extra home care hours between now and the end of the year, will benefit Wicklow and will benefit the country. I think it's the first year in a long number of years, probably since the recession, that we actually have a chance to begin to eat into the waiting lists, drive down waiting times for home care. So that will help. But I have to also be honest, we need to change the system in relation to home care. And the point I was making just before the break was, we have a system called Fair Deal. Many listeners will be familiar with it. If you want to go into a nursing home, there's rules, there's regulations. People have become quite familiar with it, and it works quite well. Needs a bit of tweaking, but it works quite well. It annoys me that we don't have a Fair Deal scheme for home care. Why do we say to people that we have a Fair Deal scheme to go into a nursing home, but we won't offer you the same deal if you want to stay at home? We're going to change that.
Well, this is good, Simon. When are we looking at change?
So we're going to start piloting it this coming year, 2020. Yeah. So of that 1 million extra hours, we're going to use about 200,000 of them. We'll pick a part of the country. This is a matter for the HSE, and we'll start actually piloting it. How do you actually prioritise people? How do you actually decide the number of hours? You could have a situation today where you could live in Donegal or Wicklow. You could have the same condition and you could have a very different experience in relation to home care. That's not fair. It's not right. So the 1 million extra hours helps, absolutely helps, will make a real difference to people waiting for home care. But hand in hand with that, we have to bring in a new version of the Fair Deal for nursing home care. It'll probably take about 2 years to be fully up and running, but we're going to start piloting it in terms of gathering some of the data and seeing how it works in some parts of the country.
But it's going to be based on getting people out of nursing homes and hospitals and back into their own home, where that's possible and where they want it to happen.
Yeah, so you know yourself, many families listening in today will have had the difficult conversation where they'll have sat down with a loved one and realised, look, we just can't continue as we are. They then look to the state to see what's actually available, and they're often told, well, the only statutory, the only rule-based scheme is actually the Fair Deal to go to a nursing home. Families come to me all the time and say, why can't there be a version of that for home care? Like, we're happy to go by the Fair Deal rules, mm-hmm, but we'd like the care to be provided in our home. And that's where we need to get to. It makes sense from a societal point of view, but also it also makes sense from a cost point of view.
Yeah.
It's much more cost effective.
And some work has been done on this, as you know, by Sage Advocacy. I actually do some work for them.
Yes.
And we have
Your New Deal report, and I know Sage have
report.
Done a lot of really good work in relation to this. And when we opened up a consultation on this, I mean, we were overwhelmed by the amount of organisations, Age Action Ireland and others, that came and said, please do this. this. This is the right thing to do. So, I mean, the establishment of Fair Deal by my predecessors for nursing home care was visionary at the time. It was a really, really big, big change. But it's now, it hasn't now kept up with, you know, the pace of life. Thankfully, people are living longer. We shouldn't see a situation where people are going into nursing homes at as early an age as they are in Ireland. People okay. want to stay in their community. We want them in their community. So a new statutory home care scheme, a new version of the Fair Deal is absolute
and
key priority.
In fact, this was even in the HICWA report on nursing home inspections last year, where they were suggesting there should be a wider range of options beyond nursing home care.
Absolutely. And I should just say, while I'm talking about home care, because I'm conscious there's a lot of people living with dementia in our county, and I meet a lot of families under pressure caring for people with dementia. A number of the extra hours will be used for dementia specific home care packages, which are obviously intensive home care packages to help keep a loved one with dementia in their home.
And there's a caller here, Johnny Hunt. He wants to know, why is there no money being invested into respite care for adults with severe intellectual disabilities?
Well, I'm pleased to tell Johnny that there is, because this is a very, very big issue. So last year we opened 12 new respite centres around the country.
And in, in Wicklow?
And in this budget there are respite facilities in Wicklow, and in this budget we've announced €5 million more for respite. I mean, Johnny is entirely right. We're thankfully seeing people with disabilities living longer and longer. It's not unusual now to see 80-year-old parents minding a child in their 50s or 60s with disabilities. So I don't disagree with Johnny, and I think we can make some progress in 2020 on this.
Okay. Now I want to ask you a bit more about funding, because you've shown yourself to be very supportive of patient advocacy mm-hmm. and advocacy for vulnerable adults in the health and social care area. But how do you justify the fact that one advocacy service, Sage Advocacy, which is funded by the HSE, gets less than half the funding of the National Advocacy Service for people with disabilities, and that's funded by the Citizens Information Board? Its caseload is equal in size, possibly larger. So are you thinking of taking steps to ensure more equitable funding in the advocacy sector?
Yeah, and I think we need an overhaul and a conversation about what advocacy is, Valerie, as well. I mean, I think sometimes people, you know, what advocacy for me is basically is making sure that if I need help navigating a system, if I need someone to help me speak up and speak out in relation to my rights, to signpost me in the right direction, that service is there. There's many, many excellent groups doing that in Ireland. But there is a need for us to, I suppose, map out that, see exactly what services are being provided, and absolutely look at better supporting it. So yes, we do need to have a look at the overall funding model for advocacy in Ireland.
Okay, and you'll be doing that. Now, we've got a lot of questions in, so I'm just going to throw a few at you and hopefully get fairly short answers. Coming back to the mesh issue again, someone says, thanks for all your support with this scandal. Have we any complete removal surgeons here in Ireland yet? Not partial. Thank you.
So this is one of, and I don't want to give a partial answer to this question because it's a very sensitive one, but this is one of the issues that HSE are looking at. When I've met with Mesh Survivors Ireland, they quite frankly lack the confidence that we have people with the ability to do that in our own country. There's different clinical views in relation to this. That's one of the issues they have to come back in their progress report. And when I meet the group in November, we'll be discussing progress on that. There's a number of women in Ireland who would like to see the mesh removed, obviously. They're not confident the doctors here can do it. Some want to go abroad to do it. Others want us to bring the service in here. So I'll be talking to them about that next month, and I'm happy to come back.
And you have an increase in the budget in the treatment abroad scheme.
Yes, a very significant.
So maybe you can use it for that.
Yeah, I mean, we have the funding in place here. It's about getting the model right that is woman-centred and that meets the satisfaction of the women.
And that they're happy with it. Okay, exactly. I hope that answers that. Can the minister explain, and this comes from John in Rathdrum, can the minister explain why my daughter has to wait for her appointment for a simple MRI on her wrist in Talla for December 2020?
For December 2020.
That's outrageous.
Absolutely. So that seems a very, very long wait, and I'd be happy to
yeah,
talk
John
directly to John,
we'll
to John in relation to that. If John wants to contact me, I mean, one of the things we are trying to do that I think is important for John to know, with the extra money that I've gotten for the National Treatment Purchase Fund this year, is I want to look at it for community diagnostics. Can we put in more MRI machines, more CAT scanners, more X-ray facilities? We here in Bray, we're going to have radiology facilities, X-ray facilities in our brand new primary care centre. So we do have a lack of community diagnostics. I met the NTPF on Friday to see if they could quickly look at even mobile MRI scanners going into some facilities to try and speed that up. But I'm happy to talk to John.
Simon.
That sounds like a very long wait.
Okay, so we'll put you in touch after the show. Now, one more question. Any plans to change Fair Deal rates to be fairer county to county, or change rates based on dependency level?
Yes, so the I don't know whether that came from a nursing home owner or not, but nursing homes are regularly on to me about this, and the NTPF pays our nursing homes through the Fair Deal, and they're currently carrying out a price review, which I expect to be concluded very shortly.
Okay, just one more question then. There are reports, this is coming from a constituent of yours,
yes,
that this man has been waiting over 2 years for access to his hospital medical file in a nearby hospital. This is clearly outrageous. Can you guarantee that patients' right to access their information will be respected? And would you act if you were provided with the relevant details?
Well, of course, I mean, we were just chatting about advocacy. I mean, it's a patient's file. It sounds very unusual. Obviously, it's hard for me to comment over the air on individual cases without knowing the details. But of course, people are entitled to their patient files, and my office will happily help.
Now, good news, the hospice.
Yes.
It's going to open in December. In December, we'll have the home care team. And in January, it'll be open for the first patients. You must be delighted.
I remember, Valerie, as you do, which is, I remember growing up in Wicklow and people knocking on doors, selling bricks for the hospice and cake sales and dance nights and race nights and Bill Porter's run. I mean, this has been an incredible community, a community effort. And I mean, it makes me very, very proud to be from Wicklow, to represent the people of Wicklow. This hospice is now going to open. I'm delighted that the role that I have has enabled me to play a bit of a part in helping with that. But this would not have happened if it wasn't
that.
For...
Yeah, this You've actually put in the funding so that the HSE will pay for the ongoing costs of the hospice.
So we've done two things. When I became health minister, the Wicklow Hospice Group came to me and they said, look, despite our incredible efforts, we have a shortfall in terms of our capital. Can you help? And we secured, I think it was about 1.2 million just to get the capital over the line and make sure the hospice could be built. And then we secured €300,000 this year to make sure the hospice could start to open, to, you know, fit the place out and be ready. And I'm delighted that in Budget 2020 last week, I managed to secure the money for the full running costs for the hospice. So this now means the hospice can go ahead, it can recruit its consultants, its nurses, all of the various staff that it needs. So basically the deal here is the community have done an amazing effort in raising all the money for the capital. We chipped in as taxpayers with some in the end, and now in return we'll pay the running costs. But I mean, there have been so many, I'm not going to single them out, because there have been so many heroes in relation
to this
project.
Oh, don't even try, Simon,
it's
so many people.
It's such a long list.
But isn't it great news?
It's brilliant news. And I mean, it's going to mean, I mean, everybody says that they want to, obviously, nobody wants to die in a hospital if you can avoid it at all. People ideally want to die at home, or if not, in a hospice facility. And we've never had an inpatient hospice in our county before. And thanks to this visionary work of so many, the Wicklow Hospice will open later this year. It'll start providing its community services later this year, and probably the first inpatients from January. So a huge congratulations to everyone, and I'm delighted we could work together to get this over the line.
And weren't we lucky that we had a Wicklow Minister for Health? That probably helped a bit as well.
Well,
now, I said
budget.
I wouldn't read any more questions, but this one says, please,
sure,
any news on the healthcare unit for Arklow from Paul?
I'm going to have to come back to them with that. I'm due to get an update on all of the primary care centres. My understanding was that contracts were about to be signed very shortly. So, Paul, I'll come back to you directly. We'll get your information from the show. We obviously have our Blessington Primary Care Centre open. We have the one in Bray due to open shortly. We have ones in Rathdrum. With the one in Wicklow, we're going to extend. One planned for Arklow and one planned for Baltinglass. But I'll come back to you, Paul, directly.
Okay.
We're nearly there on that one, I believe.
Something else I have to ask you about.
Sure.
And we've had a couple of calls about it. The swimming pool for West Wicklow.
Yes. I am a passionate believer in this, and I, you know what, it's annoying me that every now and again I think people are playing a little bit of politics with this. I couldn't care less what party political affiliation you have as a councillor, as a TD, as a constituent. Let's just work together and get this done. There is the most amazing group of people, mainly mothers, but not exclusively, working to say it is not right that every other part of County Wicklow, every other electoral area, has a public swimming pool except West Wicklow. As health minister, I know the benefits of physical exercise, of swimming. Swimming is a great equaliser. You can do it at all ages. And we have to make this happen. The community have said they are going to raise a small fortune. They're working really hard at it.
Fantastic community,
and I don't,
yeah.
You know what, having met these people, I do not doubt them. And what I've said is I'm going to chip in and make sure that we get them a meeting with the Minister for Sport, and that the state steps up and does its bit. And what I need the council to do is step up and do its bit in identifying a site. In fairness to the council and the chief executive of the council, at my request, he conducted a feasibility study. The feasibility study is clear. It says a pool makes sense for this part of the county.
So what's the next step?
So the next step now is for the community to continue its fundraising, which they're doing. For me to get them in to see the Minister for Sport, which I'll be doing in the next couple of weeks.
And I hope you're listening to that.
And also for the council to continue to identify potential sites, because what we need here is a site and a vision. And if we have a site and a vision, I've no doubt, just like the hospice, our community will rise to the challenge, and I'll be with them every step of the way.
Do you know what they do in some parts of Germany? They heat a section of a lake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Works very well. It might be a cheaper option.
But I think the people of West Wicklow want a full public swimming pool, so that's my commitment
now,
to them.
Now, the big question.
Yes.
We've been told that you're in favour of a snap election after Brexit.
No, not necessarily. I mean, the Taoiseach decides when to have an election. It's his prerogative. I think people are jumping a few steps ahead of themselves here. There isn't a Brexit deal yet. The Taoiseach just said very clearly this morning that it's possible we'll get one this month. It's possible we could even get one this week, but we need to be cautious and there's a long way to go. Priority number one, two and three has to be protecting this country from a no-deal Brexit. After that, we do know that there's a general election due in the coming months. The Taoiseach said his preference is May. Micheál Martin hasn't really said when his preference is. He just said it should be next year. And I think if there is a Brexit deal at that moment in time, I think there's an onus on the political system to provide clarity. I think the last thing people want is a big, elongated election campaign where the Dáil is in session, but just talking and talking and talking with an eye to the election. You know, there's so much going on in this country. We do need certainty about the date of the election. Leo Varadkar has said it should be May 2020. And I think there'll be a point in time where the leader of the opposition will need to say whether he agrees with that or disagrees with that. What we don't need is kind of, you know, we don't need a situation where, you know, speculation goes on and on and on. There's far too much to actually be doing. But I'm looking forward to when the election comes. I'm looking forward to a good competitive contest here in County Wicklow, and there'll be lots to discuss, no doubt.
And certainly will. And I mean, in your time, in the meantime, you could well be moved from health. So you've got a lot of work there, and we're passing on the details from our listeners.
Thank you very much.
And another listener here has a great interest in your personal life.
Oh, right.
Now that you're a dad, are you getting any sleep?
Well, I tell you, if I thought the health job was challenging, parenting puts it in a whole new perspective. Our little daughter is 9 months old now, and she's keeping us very busy.
Gosh, how time flies.
But she is sleeping through the night, so she's helping on that front.
That's wonderful. Simon, thank you very much indeed for coming in this morning and giving us an extended interview.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, whenever you come back on all those other issues, we'll be very happy to cover them again.
Thank you very much for having me, Valerie.